Dustin Poirier. For those that don't know who Dustin Poirier is, let's watch this clip, and then we'll come back and discuss the recent situation with Dustin Poirier.
Let's go, big dog. Let's go, big dog.
What's going on?
What's up? Let's go. Let's go.
Relax, relax.
Lying. Yeah, pull me off the plane. All my boys went to the crib. Now what?
And this is why he got pulled off the plane.
You Dustin Poirier?
Man, you, bro. All
right, just relax.
Man, I'll fight you right now.
No, I don't want to fight, bro.
I'll go with you right now.
Bro, I don't want to fight, bro. I don't want to fight.
Let's go.
I don't want to fight.
Let's go.
Radio, have you?
Yeah, tell him.
Up.
Tell him. Come on.
Get a couple of years.
Because it's going to be bad.
Bro, just
it's going to be bad.
Bro.
What's up?
Bro, relax.
You want to fight?
Radio 237.
Radio, start several units. Start several units.
How you boys going to fight some?
Radio 237, Sam.
Bro, relax, bro. Relax. Relax, bro.
You gonna taste me?
Relax.
Bro, I'm gonna bang you up.
Bro, relax.
Give me a good one.
Just relax.
Give me a good one.
Yo. They kicked him off the flight. That was a UFC.
What's going on, bro? Talk to me.
Lying, man.
What?
Let's go. Arrest
me. All
right, let's go. Let's go. Arrest me. That's the best way, dog. That's the best way.
That's the best way. Hey,
pound it, pound it.
All right, man.
Now you did a great job.
So for those that don't know, Dustin Poirier, a former UFC intern lightweight champion, he built his reputation through thrilling performances, victories over some of the best in the world. And recently, however, Poirier made headlines for a very different reason. According to police and body cam footage, Poirier was removed from a Delta afternoon flight at Atlanta's airport after allegedly behaving in a belligerent manner.
Bro.
What's up?
Towards airline staff while being reportedly intoxicated. The situation escalated after he exited the aircraft, where he was seen shouting profanities and challenging a responding police officer to a fight, repeatedly saying he wanted to fight him. He was arrested on public intoxication charge without the encounter being physical. So it was interesting when I saw you today, you mentioned Dustin Poirier, and I thought, you know, that was on my to-do list. I was got so preoccupied with so many things, and it reminded me that when I first saw what had happened, I started to make some comparisons with a former opponent of his, Khabib, and how he has purpose, how he's living a different life. You asked me about my past. You mentioned something about Dustin Poirier, right?
Yes.
And then about our past, you know, connecting. And I said, you know what, man, we should discuss this. We should go ahead, because you have a similar past. Alcohol, party, that Jahiliya lifestyle, that lifestyle before Islam. And you see like the benefits that now we were like, man, maybe we can send out a message to Dustin. And hopefully, because it seems like he's right now living without purpose.
What the hell am I going to do with my life? Like, what do I do?
I'm like, it's honestly, bro, I'm a danger to myself when I'm having nothing. No goal circled on my calendar. I'm a danger to myself, man.
Yeah.
I'm home. I drink. It's just not good. I have to have some kind of battle.
He's out of the UFC, like he's saying, and he's driving him nuts. That was his only purpose in life.
20 years, and now I wake up and it's gone. Like, what do I do?
I'm like,
he said he's dangerous.
I got to keep my mind busy. You know, I'm a danger. I've said this before. People have heard me say this, but if I'm not working towards something, trying to better myself and my family, I'm a danger to myself.
It's honestly, bro, I'm a danger to myself when I'm have nothing. No goal circled on my calendar. I'm a danger to myself.
And you can see what's happening now. What are your thoughts when you see that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, with Dustin Poirier, I mean, I have a lot of empathy towards him. He's well-respected, especially in the Muslim community. And a lot of people, I think as soon as this came out, a lot of people knocked him. And I think we shouldn't bash him, and we should kind of take a deeper look into what's going on, like, in our society and, like, certain things that plague society. And with Dustin Poirier especially, I mean, you kind of look at, you know, similar to Conor McGregor. You know, and I don't think this is going to be that severe. I mean, it seems like Dustin Poirier he's trying to fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
So with Dustin, I think that he just kind of needs to surround himself with with more positive influence, better people. And, you know, Islam for us, I mean, that's basically what fills the void. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, it you know, especially here when we train, you know, jiu-jitsu, martial arts, we know that, you know, when we train, we also pray. If it's time to pray, we go, we make wudu, we go and pray, and, you know, we have a purpose. You know, it's not just going to be, you know, like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. If we go out, we go and hang out, we go have coffee. We don't go out to the pubs or anything like that. So, I mean, honestly, I have a lot of empathy towards Dustin, and I really do hope that, you know, he seeks help, and I think he's going to be all right, though. It seems like, you know, like Dustin has a good heart and he has like a good head on his shoulders. I just feel like this was kind of like a slip up, you know, so I don't think it's going to be as severe as Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor just kind of like, you know, completely fell off, and, you know, he puts himself out there. This was just kind of caught on camera, you know, so like Dustin Poirier doesn't portray himself like as a certain type of villain or anything like that. So, you know, much love, Dustin Poirier. I mean, you know, the Muslim Ummah, we have your back, and, you know, we pray that you, you know, find guidance, and that, you know, that Allah protects you and your family. You know, we know that you have family, so, you know, you got to look out for them, and that's probably the most important thing, you know, but we're here for you.
This is what one of his other training partners, he had to say about him. Maybe we play this, and I want to connect it to the situation, connect it to what we're discussing here.
Dustin's the biggest egomaniac in the entire world. I don't care what anybody says. Anybody that's trained with him, been with him day in and day out like I have for years on end. The way he treats people in the gym, his ego.
This is this nice charitable guy that pretends to be this nice guy on camera. He pretends to be this nice guy on camera, but really he's a piece of shit.
Definite eye rolling. It was definite. And just, number one, be a professional. You don't need to get into a verbal altercation in front of my wife and in front of the fans there at T-Mobile Arena to prove that you're a tough guy. Maybe you drank a little bit more hot sauce that night than he should have.
What was that guy's name again?
Colby Covington.
Colby Covington.
Yeah.
You know Ali changed at our gym.
Yeah.
Ali Kadokoff.
Yeah.
You remember when Ali Kadokoff?
Yeah.
When he hugged or he came up upon him at the gym because they train at the same gym. And Ali asked him, do you have any, what do you have to say about Muslims?
Oh, nothing but good things about good Muslims. Things.
He said some things about Khabib Nurmagomedov. We got a bunch of Russians here. Guess what? Those Russians got him in the bathroom because he was in the sauna, like four or five of them, and they told him, hey, brother, you cannot talk like this. He's like, no, I'm sorry. I apologetic as hell.
So, listen, how you feel about Muslims? Tell them.
I have nothing but love and respect for every Muslim in the world and anybody that wants to, your viewpoints are your viewpoints, and I would never judge anybody for what they believe in, and I have nothing but love for everybody and respect.
So you don't have nothing against the Muslims?
Hell yeah, much love and respect to the Muslims. I respect all you guys and what you guys believe in.
That's it.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفؤا أحد.
What do you think? You think Kobe was seizing the opportunity now, or there's some truth to that? What he's saying about Dustin?
It's a little hard to say because
we don't know. I mean,
there's a lot of politics when it comes to when it comes to like different gyms, and especially when you have different fighters. You know, Colby Covington, you know, with all respect, he's also, you know, he likes to, you know, throw gasoline on fire, you know.
Yeah,
but, you know, and, you know, Allah knows best, you know, so, but, you know, I haven't met him, but I know people who have met him, including my brother. My brother met Dustin Poirier.
Your brother met
Dustin? Yeah. And my brother also trains with us here, and he had nothing but great things to say about Dustin. He said that he was, you know, he walked up to him, you know, talked to him, took a picture with him and everything. And he said that he was, you know, stand-up guy. You know, you notice that, like, you know, sometimes, you know, when, especially when the fame hits you, you know, it starts to get to your head. Some people, they won't even give you the time and day to say hi, hello, you know, not even, you know, a smile. They just kind of just keep on moving. And, you know, Dustin Poirier, again, it seemed like, you know, he's very sincere.
I want to take it back to what he was saying about him now being very angry, really drinking, not having purpose. What I translate is just really not having purpose after the UFC. And I think a lot of people, when you live for, let's say, your wife, or you live for your children, or you live for your job, or you live for a career, you live for money, and then you lose these things.
Yeah.
right? You live for, let's say, your wife or your husband, and then you get to a certain age and they die. And then what? What's next? Or your children, you live for your children, and next thing you know, they get to a certain age, they leave.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Happens right? all the time.
Happens yeah. all the time, especially in this culture. They yeah. don't even look back. They're gone, right?
You know, Eddie, the funny thing that you mentioned, that I remember Muhammad Ali mentioned this in a video a long time ago. You guys can look it up. He said something along the lines, I'm going to, you know, paraphrase a little bit. He said, you know, about something, he mentioned something about his children when he had like separated his ex-wife. He's like, you know, there's, you know, another man is raising my wife, or raising my kids, you know, and like they're calling him daddy. You know, it's like, so, but essentially the whole thing that he was trying to break down was saying that nothing in this life is yours. Everything here is temporary. Even your own children. That was kind of the whole thing. He's like, nothing here is guaranteed. Your house, your wife, you know, your kids, all of that. And don't get me wrong, it's not to say that like, oh, well, what's the point now? No, we obviously continue. We strive. We have to protect our children. We have to protect our spouses, and we have to provide for them. But at the same time, you know, we have to understand that there's a bigger purpose of life than just, you know, hey, you know, money, you know, family. Again, that's important, you know, but again, we also have to take priority also in God. We always say God comes first with everything.
That's exactly it. So now you live for somebody, that person dies. Like you were saying, it's a great example with Muhammad Ali.
Even your children are not yours, if you think I'm lying. Your wife is not yours. I divorced my wife, you may have read about it, and my four children, they call another man daddy now. They don't see me no more. So what am I saying? We need somebody in the world to help us make peace. So when I die, if there's a heaven, I want to see it.
And now what happens is, let's say the husband dies before the wife. Now you got another man coming in wearing your old clothes, driving your car.
Absolutely.
And those possessions, they stay behind. You can't take it with you. So those are things to ponder and think. So we take this opportunity. Hopefully, let's get this message to Dustin, and that's out of love. That's love that you see a really depressing situation. Other people capitalize on it, but we want good for him. And I think that someone like you also, who's a revert, a convert to Islam, if he watches this, or anyone else who's a Dustin Poirier fan, and they're kind of, you know, doing the you know, the average Joe thing, you know, hitting the pubs, drinking, partying, but they have this void, just like Justin. You can see clearly he's got a void. So you turn to alcohol to fill that void. You used to also, like many people, you still drink?
No.
Joe Rogan gave up drinking. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that.
Candace Owens, many. But we were ahead of that, way. Yeah. Islam, you know, way ahead of that. But tell me, what was it about Islam that had different? You come from a Catholic background?
Yeah. So, Catholic and Mexican background, so okay. It's rough.
Yeah, so what was it about Islam that was unique that Dustin Poirier should have a look into it, to look a little bit further, you know? You've tried so many other things. Obviously, I think he's Christian, right?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure, like most people growing up in
actually, you know what? Actually, that you mentioned that, I think he has like a cross tattoo on his leg or something like that. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he is a Christian. And again, it's not to knock the Christian faith.
But Islam gives you structure. It gives you a blueprint, right? And it works.
Yeah.
So what would you... And it's the original way from the first man, Adam, and all the prophets that were sent. It's not a new religion, submission to the creator, not the creation. What had you fascinated about it that had you accept it?
You can go down the whole list. It's
what a few things that you think he can connect with that you would like for also somebody who was like him, a Christian, you know, you had no idea about Islam, but you end up becoming a Muslim.
Yeah. So actually, it's funny. I was having a discussion with a friend earlier. And essentially, for me, what happened was I went down pretty much a whole, essentially hitting rock bottom to the point where, you know, right now I probably weigh about 150. Back then, I think this was, like definitely over 10 years ago, you know, when I was drinking and, you know, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, I weighed about 180 pounds. And this is me when I was younger. So like, you know, my metabolism was probably at its prime. And, you know, now I'm a little bit older. So for me, when I hit that point where like I it was hard for me to catch my breath because, you know, I was drinking, smoking and all that stuff. I got to the point where I'm like, when is enough going to be enough? You're always chasing that high. And then that high just can never seem to be, it can never fill that void. And I got to the point where at some point, I just had to stop, because I knew that I was going to kill myself. And knowing that I have a family, you know, they can bury me young, and I don't want to go young. You know, we pray for a long life. We know that death is inevitable, but at the end of the day, we want a good, healthy life for us. And, you know, kind of to go back, you know, to what you were saying is, like, as far as drinking, you know, I think a lot of people, and especially like a lot of the reverts, you know, we struggle with like certain vices, and it's not something that, you know, we give up easily or that we give up overnight. Like, people think like, oh, you know, just because you're Muslim, you're going to quit drinking like this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. It
takes time, yeah.
It takes time. And even like, you know, during the Prophet, you know, peace be upon him, during his time, the Sahaba, they took it. It took them years for them to give up those vices. And even then, like certain vices that you have, it's better to keep it in secret and don't spread that evil, you know, throughout the earth. You know, it's better for you to keep it, and, you know, it's better to hide it. And that's going to be between you and Allah. The sin is between you and Allah. But I can tell you this much, definitely from giving up alcohol. Again, I weigh 150 pounds now. I typically in my, you know, when I'm more shape, when I'm not eating so much food, because Eddie, you know, us Mexicans, we love tacos. And especially right now with the World Cup, it's a little hard to, you know, kind of give up, you know, certain eating lifestyles. You know, I weigh a little bit less, but it's definitely helped me out quite a lot, giving me a structure, not only just, you know, physically, but also, you know, spiritually. Again, mm-hmm. we go back to, you know, when we're training jujitsu, or, you know, when we're doing, you know, striking, wrestling, you know, when it's time to pray, you know, hey, we go make wudu, we clean ourselves, and then we pray, and then we get back to sparring, you know? And it's just like that every day. And like, we have a purpose. We go out with a purpose.
So you have the nourishment of the body, and when you're feeding it with food, what it needs, it lives on, you know, to go ahead and serve its purpose, get you through this life. But that's the thing, like, when you really don't nourish the soul.
Yeah.
And that nourishment, that is connection to its creator. And that's the beauty of Islam, is that direct connection.
Correct.
Not worshiping the creation, but only turning yourself wholeheartedly to the creator of the heavens and earth, the one Jesus worshiped, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. So when you nourish the food with what it has, then you have that strong connection, and then you are truly living your purpose, and you're preparing for what comes next after this life, the Day of Judgment, Paradise, Hellfire. And you now have a sense of being now, being with a purpose. Instead, you know, many people, they fall down and they have to sometimes hit rock bottom. Maybe this is opportunity. Hopefully something sad like this, Dustin, can be courageous. I think many, I always repeat this, that you have so many UFC fighters and others, and for glory and fame, you'll say they're courageous, they get in the cage, but courageous is, if you see the truth, to accept the truth. So I would encourage him to, I think he spent some time in Dubai and other places, and they've had nothing but great things to say. The hospitality, the people were amazing. And to look in, what causes Muslims to be hospitable, what causes Muslims to leave off many of these vices that are destroying society, what causes Habib to be so focused, and other Muslim fighters.
Yeah.
You know, and try, I mean, if something works, why wouldn't you try it? Just look into Islam. I would say look into submission to the will of God. That's what Islam is. Because people get like kind of, with all of the stereotypes and all of the misinformation, people are like, well, the people I've interviewed over the years, they're like, Islam was the last religion I looked at, right? They were searching everything. They're saying, I hope it's not Islam, right? Because there's so much stigma attached to it. But it is. This is a treasure that's been covered by all of the demonic, satanic forces to keep you away from the truth.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you can have more, because you're somebody who went through those struggles, probably still going through it, family, and it was tough. Was it a tough, a decision? Did you have a lot of pushback?
No, but the funny thing, I mean, there was definitely a struggle, but I think that's kind of just like with anything. And even till this day, there's struggles.
With anything,
So again, it's something that we battle every day, you know, but at the end of the day, what we do is we try our best, you know, we whatever sin that we commit, you know, no Muslim is perfect. Doesn't matter. You can, you know, do whatever, you know, from A to Z. But at the end of the day, you always have to come back to your creator. And I think that's, it's a struggle for everybody. But again, at least Islam is what gives you that structure. It gives you family. It gives you that's like what you were talking about, spirituality. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I came towards Islam was because I was looking for a spiritual journey, a spiritual path. And it led me to Islam. And yeah, for a little while, I was definitely like kind of fighting. I was like, man, this is just, you know, probably just like some like, you know, Arab religion, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, who is Allah? And then you start to like, you know, ask questions like, okay, you know, who is Allah? You know, and you're like, oh, you know, oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe in, you know, him being the Messiah. You know, for me, at least that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I became a Muslim was, you know, a lot had to do with Jesus, you know, peace be upon him. When I found out that he was the Messiah, I was like, wow, this is crazy. I had no idea that Muslims believe in Jesus, you know, and that you see that, you know, it's for everybody because, you know, not anybody can become, you know, a Jew, you know, it's just you kind of go down that rabbit hole, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, well, you know, it's kind of an ethno religion, you know. And for Christianity, for me, it was, you know, the Trinity, you know, we had a lot of issues with it. I had a lot of issues, like, trying to figure out, like, you know, who's the Father, you know, who's the Son, you know, who's the Holy Spirit, you know. But, yeah, I pray for our brother, Dustin Poirier, and I really do sincerely think he's going to be all right. I think this is just kind of a one-and-done thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's get this, hopefully, Dustin... We can get this message to him. We invite him to look into Islam. We'd love to get him on the program, and we can have a discussion. Let him ask any questions. Help to facilitate the journey if he's interested. And until then,
and then he's got a lot of people in the UFC that are Muslim that he can reach out to.
Yep. All right. Thank you,
Eddie. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.